Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle, and we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are on Chapter 1, Section 3, The Flowering of Human Consciousness, Our Inherited Dysfunction. My name is Barbara Wainwright and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you. Our inherited dysfunction. If we look more deeply into humanity's ancient religions and spiritual traditions, we will find that underneath that many surface differences, there are two core insights that most of them agree on. The words they use to describe those insights differ. Yet they all point to a twofold fundamental truth. The first part of this truth is the realization that the normal state of mind of most human beings contains a strong element of what we might call dysfunction or even madness. Certain teachings at the heart of Hinduism perhaps come closest to seeing this dysfunction as a form of collective mental illness. They call it Maya, the veil of delusion. Ramana Maharshi, one of the greatest Indian sages, bluntly states, "The mind is Maya."
According to the Buddha, the human mind in its normal state generates dukkha, which can be translated as suffering, unsatisfactoriness, or just plain misery. He sees it as a characteristic of the human condition. Wherever you go, whatever you do, says the Buddha, you will encounter dukkha, and it will manifest in every situation, sooner or later. My thought about that is that's the egoic mind that he's talking about there. And it is part of the human condition. We're born and we have our mind that develops over time as we grow up. And we start thinking in terms with what we've learned. And unless we've been brought up in a spiritual environment with spiritual teachers and lessons, we're going to learn the egoic way of survival. And the egoic way of survival means that we are going to suffer and have unsatisfactoriness or just plain misery. And once we've been exposed to these spiritual lessons, we recognize that that is a choice that we have to become enlightened, or at least move in that direction to become enlightened, and therefore recognize when our egoic mind is taking over what it is that we are thinking. So are we thinking from our spiritual higher guidance, or are we thinking from our egoic mind? Are we causing turmoil and strife, or are we bringing grace and forgiveness to the situation?
According to Christian teachings, the normal collective state of humanity is one of original sin. Sin is a word that has been greatly misunderstood and misinterpreted. Literally translated from the ancient Greek in which the New Testament was written, to sin means to miss the mark, as an archer who misses the target. So to sin means to miss the point of human existence. It means to live unskillfully, blindly, and thus to suffer and cause suffering. Again, the term, stripped of its cultural baggage and misinterpretations, points to the dysfunction inherent in the human condition.
The achievements of humanity are impressive and undeniable. We've created sublime works of music, literature, painting, architecture, and sculpture. More recently, science and technology have brought about radical changes in the way we live and have enabled us to do and create things that would have been considered miraculous even 200 years ago. No doubt, the human mind is highly intelligent, yet its very intelligence is tainted by madness. Science and technology have magnified the destructive impact that the dysfunction of the human mind has upon the planet, other life forms, and upon humans themselves. That is why the history of the 20th century is where that dysfunction, that collective insanity, can be most clearly recognized. A further factor is that this dysfunction is actually intensifying and accelerating. And I believe the reason why that is so is because you think about it. Thousands of years ago, people were just learning to write, and paper wasn't a thing. So they started out on stone, and then it got to the point where they could write, and paper got invented, and then we could write on paper. And now we can instantly let people know what's going on with us. We have instant text messaging. So therefore, the atrocities that are happening across the planet can be communicated very quickly and instantly to the masses, as opposed to people finding out about it later after reading it in a book somewhere decades or centuries later. Now it is communicated effectively instantly. So we're only coming to know about the atrocities in real time, as opposed to centuries or decades later. I don't know that it's necessarily intensifying or accelerating. It may have always already been there, and we were unaware of it.
The First World War broke out in 1914. Destructive and cruel wars, motivated by fear, greed, and the desire for power, had been common occurrences throughout human history, as had slavery, torture, and widespread violence inflicted for religious and ideological reasons. Humans suffered more at the hands of each other than through natural disasters. By the year 1914, however, the highly intelligent human mind had invented not only the internal combustion engine, but also bombs, machine guns, submarines, flamethrowers, and poison gas. Intelligence in the service of madness. In static trench warfare in France and Belgium, millions of men perished to gain a few miles of mud. When the war was over in 1918, the survivors looked in horror and incomprehension upon the devastation left behind. 10 million human beings killed, and many more maimed or disfigured. Never before had human madness been so destructive in its effect, so clearly visible. Little did they know that this was only the beginning.
By the end of the century, the number of people who died a violent death at the hand of their fellow humans would rise to more than 100 million. They died not only through wars between nations, but also through mass exterminations and genocide, such as the murder of 20 million class enemies, spies, and traitors in the Soviet Union under Stalin, or the unspeakable horrors of the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. They also died in countless smaller internal conflicts, such as the Spanish Civil War or during the Khmer Rouge regime in Cambodia, when a quarter of that century's population was murdered. And I'm going to add to that, the Spanish flu, 1918, that was when the Spanish flu broke out and millions died from that too. Maybe it wasn't at the hands of men, or was it? Question mark.
We only need to watch the daily news on television to realize that the madness has not abated, that it is continuing into the 21st century. Another aspect of the collective dysfunction of the human mind is the unprecedented violence that humans are inflicting on other life forms and the planet itself. The destruction of oxygen-producing forests and other plant and animal life, ill treatment of animals in factory farms, and poisoning of rivers, oceans, and air. Driven by greed, ignorant of their connectedness to the whole, humans persist in behavior that, if continued unchecked, can only result in their own destruction.
The collective manifestations of the insanity that lies at the heart of the human condition constitute the greater part of human history. It is to a large extent a history of madness. If the history of humanity were the clinical case history of a single human being, the diagnosis would have to be chronic paranoid delusions, a pathological propensity to commit murder and acts of extreme violence and cruelty against his perceived enemies, his own unconsciousness projected outward, criminally insane with a few brief lucid intervals.
Fear, greed, and the desire for power are the psychological motivating forces not only behind warfare and violence between nations, tribes, religions, and ideologies, but also the cause of incessant conflict and personal relationships. They bring about a distortion in your perception of other people and yourself. Through them, you misinterpret every situation, leading to misguided action designed to rid you of fear and satisfy your need for more, a bottomless hole that can never be filled.
Well, I just highlighted that fear, greed, and the desire for power bring about a distortion in your perception of other people and yourself. So if you are operating from that place of fear and greed, you aren't going to see things clearly. It's a distortion.
That's so true. I can't tell you how many times I've been misunderstood or misinterpreted, like just because of someone else's distorted perception of maybe their past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you how many times I've been misunderstood. Like I say one thing and I literally mean just this one thing, and then mm-hmm. someone will just take it and turn it into something completely different. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah, because they're looking at it through their filter, their mind structure, if you will, their egoic mind structure, which is filters things through, remembering things that have happened to them or things that they've done in the past. And they think that you would behave or act like they do. And that's what even somebody who's good-hearted would do. They think that somebody's going to turn around and behave like they would behave, you know, with kindness and compassion and caring about somebody. And then if the person is coming from that place of fear and greed and the desire for power, they're not going to behave like that. They're going to be ruthless, and they don't care, furthermore.
No, I guess just after like saying that, I realized that there's probably times that I've misunderstood people. So I don't know.
Yeah, right. I mean, it goes both ways, you know, and that's why it's important to have great communication. Great communication means checking in and saying, here's what I heard you say. I heard you say X, Y, Z. Did I get that right? And then even better communication says, is there anything else you'd like to share with me about that? And now you've given them permission to expand on what it is that they were talking about. And obviously, if they started the conversation, it's something that's important to them. So I think those are two fundamental ways to communicate with people. One, checking in. Here's what I heard you say. Did I get that right? And then secondly, asking them or giving them permission to go deeper if they choose.
Right.
It is important to realize, however, that fear, greed, and the desire for power are not the dysfunction that we are speaking of, but are themselves created by the dysfunction, which is a deep-seated collective delusion that lies within the mind of each human being. A number of spiritual teachings tell us to let go of fear and desire, but those spiritual practices are usually unsuccessful. They haven't gone to the root of the dysfunction. Fear, greed, and desire for power are not the ultimate causal factors. Trying to become a good or better human being sounds like a commendable and high-minded thing to do, yet it is an endeavor you cannot ultimately succeed in unless there is a shift in consciousness. This is because it is still part of the same dysfunction, a more subtle and rarefied form of self-enhancement, of desire for more, and a strengthening of one's conceptual identity, one's self-image. You do not become good by trying to be good, but by finding the goodness that is already within you and allowing that goodness to emerge. But it can only emerge if something fundamental changes in your state of consciousness.
The history of communism, originally inspired by noble ideas, clearly illustrates what happens when people attempt to change external reality, create a new earth, without any prior change in their inner reality, their state of consciousness. They make plans without taking into account the blueprint for dysfunction that every human being carries within, the ego. And it's so true, and I can't even tell you like how many ego deaths I've had, like just on this journey. And it's because every human being does carry an ego. I mean, there's so many layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you always kind of have it. And it's just a matter of, I guess, you being the one that is in charge of it, as opposed to the ego being in charge of you.
The ego is very tricky. It's very cunning. People, I think, inherently are good. I do believe that the majority of people are born with goodness in their heart. The good news is that even though we have inherited a dysfunctional way of being as a part of the human species, today, with our ability to communicate at the speed of light, I think that the darkness that's being revealed right now on our planet will come into the light, and that the light will prevail.
The light prevails when you smile at a stranger on the street.
It's as simple as smiling at a stranger on the street. That is bringing the light energy through. Let's say it this way. That's letting the light energy flow through you. And if you think about it, like we're zapping people with our light energy every time we smile at them. We're lifting people up. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Even if you don't know you are.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right, y'all. Until next week, I hope you have a great week and keep smiling, keep shining your light bright so that you can share your light with others in your life, in your circle. Be the light in your circle. Bye for now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to wainwrightglobal.com/go/support.